I'm Chloe. I'm welcome. Welcome. Have your say. Have your BBC. BB Day. The day. It's got you talk. Got you.
Matt Doherty. Doherty. Bill Doyle has Bill Doyle first or first. Water. So the long battle is finally close to coming to an end.
Was the BP oil leak overhyped? Despite the warnings that it was the worst oil spill in history, we're now told that three quarters of the leak has been cleared up. So was the world too quick to judge, or is it too early to assess the environmental impact?
Actually, for me, it's very bad because every day I'm using BlackBerry Messenger to chat with my family to the country, and not only family, all my friends in UAE.
And Saudi Arabia is restricting the use of BlackBerries over security concerns. So is this another freedom curtailed or a move to protect its people? The conversation is already underway at worldhaveyoursay.com.
BBC News with Marion Marshall. Disaster officials in Pakistan say the number of people affected by the severe flooding in the country has increased dramatically to 12 million. They said the figure was for just two of Pakistan's four provinces. In a television address, the Prime Minister, Yusuf Raza Gilani, said the scale of the disaster was unprecedented, and he appealed to the international community for help.
Pakistan has been hit by the worst flood of its history. While still struggling to cope with the negative impact of the situation on our western borders and the internally displaced persons crisis, we have yet been hit by another natural disaster. The loss of human life and infrastructure is colossal. Real assessment of the damages can only be done once the water recedes.
A week after the British Prime Minister David Cameron ignited a diplomatic row with Pakistan by accusing it of not doing enough to fight terrorism, Mr. Cameron has held talks in London with the visiting Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari. The two agreed to intensify their cooperation on fighting Islamist militancy. Russian health officials are warning people in Moscow to stay inside and avoid physical exertion as a noxious choking fog from the worst wildfires in the country's history have smothered the city. Our correspondent Richard Galpin is in Moscow.
Well, I'm standing just on the edge of Red Square. In front of me is that famous Russian landmark, St. Basil's Cathedral, and behind it the clock tower of the Kremlin, and you can hardly see them. They are so shrouded in smoke that they are disappearing from view, like a lot of the rest of this city. This is by far the worst day we've had in the capital. The smoke is choking, and a lot of people are starting to wear face masks as they walk along the streets here. The pollution levels are very, very high. It's extremely dangerous.
Police in France have cleared a Roma gypsy camp in the central city of Saint-Étienne. About 100 people have been moved on. It's the first such clearance since the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, announced plans to dismantle hundreds of unauthorised campsites in the country. Hugh Schofield reports from Paris.
The camp of tents and makeshift homes had been set up on council-owned land in Saint-Étienne and had been occupied since May. Police sealed off the area at dawn and spent the morning moving the people out. A Romanian police officer was present, a sign that these members of the Roma community were recent immigrants from Eastern Europe. The government of President Sarkozy has recently struck a hard line towards what he defined as certain elements in the Roma and traveller communities. This followed last month's attack on a rural police station by a group of young men after the shooting to death of a suspected burglar.
World News from the BBC. President Obama has welcomed the latest United States employment figures, despite their suggesting only a weak recovery of the economy. Data from the US Labor Department showed that the unemployment rate remained at 9.5%. Private companies added a net total of 71,000 jobs in July, far below the amount needed to bring the unemployment rate down. China's culture minister has rounded on the country's broadcasters and publishers, saying much of what they produce is vulgar and kitsch. The minister, Tsai Wu, said many Chinese publications were full of sensational stories, and he accused local governments of spending money on vanity projects instead of basic cultural facilities. Here's our China editor, Shirong Chen.
In an interview with the state news agency Xinhua, the cultural minister lashed out at the trend of what he called vulgar productions that advocated money worship and consumerism. He asked how many of the country's 300,000 books published every year could compare with China's scriptures passed down by the ancestors, and how many of the 400 movies and hundreds of TV drama programs each year would be remembered as classics. And he accused the local governments of spending money on vanity projects such as urban landmark buildings instead of basic cultural facilities.
Rescue workers in northern Chile are trying to free 34 miners who've been trapped in a copper mine for almost a day. Officials at the mine say the men were cut off 450 metres underground after the main access tunnel collapsed. They are believed to be near a shelter with oxygen, food and water. Police in the Netherlands say they've arrested a woman suspected of killing at least three of her babies and hiding their remains in suitcases in her attic. Police started an investigation after being alerted that the woman had been pregnant several times but had no children. The babies are thought to have been born over the last 8 years. BBC News.
We have heard the news from the BBC. Now it's your turn. Call country code 44 20 78 30 72 72. Welcome to World Have Your Say.
Hello, I'm Chloe Tilley. Thank you for joining us. Well, nearly three quarters of the oil that leaked into the Gulf has already been removed, according to the US government. Yet just weeks ago, President Obama told us this was the worst environmental disaster America has ever faced. Already, we're hearing from some experts that the beaches will return to normal before Christmas, fishing will be back in a couple of months, and the shellfish industry within 2 years. So, was the BP oil leak overhyped, or is it too early to write off the possibility of long-term damage? Has the main damage not been to fishing stocks and birds, but to the tourist industry, with media reports scaring holidaymakers away and damaging the reputation of seafood from the Gulf? You can post now at the blog at worldhaveyoursay.com. And later in the programme, we're going to be discussing whether Saudi Arabia is right to restrict the use of BlackBerries because of security issues. It boils down to its government not being able to monitor communications between BlackBerries on its messenger service. Well, concerns were raised after they were used to coordinate the Mumbai attacks. And even back in 2005, mobile phones were used by the London Tube and bus bombers. So, is it a country's right to monitor its own citizens, or another example of a government's attempt to control its people? We're here live for the next hour, taking your calls, tweets and texts. And if you want to get in touch, here's how.
Phone country code 44 20 70 83 72 72.
Email what have you say at bbc.co.uk.
Well, joining us is Dr. Simon Boxall, who is a lecturer in oceanography at the University of Southampton. He's in our Exeter studio in the south of England. And also Paul Horsman, who's a marine biologist and also an oil spill expert who's worked with Greenpeace. He's in Kent in the UK. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on World Have Your Say. First of all, Dr. Boxall, what do you think? Do you think BP, this leak has been overhyped or not?
I think it has. I mean, one should state from the outset that this was a bad leak. To begin with, 11 people lost their lives. Two people died subsequently in the cleanup operations. And it is a big leak. It's a huge leak. And it has caused environmental damage. The problem is it has been overplayed, and it's been at the forefront of the news really for the past 3 months. And that's not a bad thing, because it highlights the problems of oil exploration and really the damage that oil can cause. But the overall damage, the hype is much higher than the actual environmental damage that's been caused.
I'm told, unfortunately, that Paul Horsman's line has just dropped off, so we can't go to him for a response. But I just want you to clarify one thing for me from your perspective, Dr. Boxall, if you wouldn't mind. We're being told that three quarters of the oil has been removed from the ocean. What does that actually mean? Does that mean that it's been collected? Does it mean it's been broken down? Just explain that for us.
I think, ironically, having spent the last 3 months trying to play down the amount of oil, I'd say possibly that three quarters is optimistic. But what it means is that the oil has either dispersed through the ocean itself and has been broken down by microbes. So the bacterial action has basically reduced the oil to component parts, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen. A lot of it has also been picked up. Bear in mind, of those nearly 5 million barrels, a lot was picked up by BP from the wellhead itself, and consequently and subsequently from the sea surface. So a lot of that oil has been picked up, and then finally a large amount has evaporated. This is a very light crude. It's a sweet crude. So as it gets to the surface, it evaporates. Now, there are questions then about atmospheric pollution. But again, it's small quantities when you look at the size of the ocean and the size of the atmosphere.
I'm pleased to say that Paul Horsman is back with us. Sorry about that line dropping off there, Mr. Horsman. I don't know how much you heard of what Dr. Boxall just said, but he's essentially saying that it has been overhyped, this oil leak. A lot of the oil has now gone. It was obviously a tragedy at the beginning when those 11 workers lost their lives, but there was a bit of an overreaction. Do you agree?
No, I don't think there was an overreaction. Certainly from my point of view, there is no need to overhype the situation. I think that the pictures and the discussions about the amount of oil coming out was evidence enough in itself to see that this was a major environmental problem that was occurred in the Gulf of Mexico. It's certainly not the world's biggest oil spill, as I think I heard in your introduction, and certainly that's not something that neither I nor any of my colleagues have ever said online.
But there's plenty of people who have said this is the worst oil spill in history. Lots of people have said that.
Well, I would not agree that it's the world's worst oil spill in history, certainly. I've been at the world's worst oil spill, certainly in terms of amounts, which was, of course, the Persian Gulf spill in 1991. But, you know, the figures about, or comments about how bad or not bad environmental disasters are, whether they're oil spills or whatever, depends on your perspective. And if you are sitting in Louisiana and oil is coming up on the beaches in huge quantities, then it doesn't really matter whether it's the world's worst or even not the world's worst. The fact is that the impact is there. If you're a fisherman on the coast that has been prevented from fishing through the summer season because of the oil spill, then again, it doesn't really matter. It's directly affecting you. And equally, in terms of being, you know, a pelican that's covered with oil, it's almost doesn't matter that you're only one pelican of several hundred. You know, but when you step back and look at the statistics, the Exxon Valdez still holds the record as being the oil spill that had the greatest wildlife kill. I don't think this will come close to the Exxon Valdez, but none of these sort of words that are bandied about that make it, you know, relatively bad or good detract from the fact that there has been a major environmental disaster. And to actually say the oil has gone is absolutely, you know, the oil hasn't gone. It has gone somewhere. And, you know, there are natural bacteria that break down oil and turn it into its constituent parts. The bacteria utilize a lot of oxygen in that process, so there is a danger of increasing the amount of dead zones that occur in the Gulf of Mexico. So there will
dead zones being areas where wildlife can't live.
Yes, there have been naturally occurring dead zones within the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, how much or how little the impact of the oil spill and the breakdown of the oil spill by bacteria is impacting that is going to take several months of research work in order to discover that. You know, we've seen a lot of hype right from the beginning of this oil spill from BP that tried to underestimated the amount of oil that was coming out initially, and those figures were ramped up, and now entirely predictably at the, you know, now the oil spill has been capped, you're getting a rearguard action on behalf of those that are trying to, for lots of reasons from their point of view, downplay the impacts.
Okay, well, gentlemen, we've got lots of people lined up on the phone who want to speak to you both. I know that some of them may well have questions. But if you're listening to this and you're in one of those areas that have been affected by this Gulf of Mexico oil spill, what do you make of what you're hearing there from Paul Horsman and also from Dr. Simon Boxall? Do you think this has had a catastrophic impact? Have your views changed over time? It'd be really interesting to get your point of view. You can call us, country code 44 2070 83 72 72. You can email us, worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Well, let's bring in Mike Thomas, who's on the line in Florida, Robert in Tennessee, and Anne, who is in Vancouver. Welcome all of you to World Have Your Say. Mike Thomas, first of all, you're a journalist in Florida. What do you make of the BP oil leak and how it's been covered? Has it been overhyped?
Yes, I think it has. It's sort of the media pretty much jumps on worst case scenarios.
People like you, Mike, and people like me.
Right. I mean, that and big environmental issues are a very complex and nuanced thing, and it's hard to get into that in a news story. And if you have one scientist saying, well, we need to be cautious and look at the long-term impact of this and get into those kind of details, and another one saying, well, this could destroy the Gulf of Mexico, then you can pretty much guess which one will be quoted in the story.
It's an interesting point, though, Mike, that you raise there. If you've got different experts saying different things, what are you meant to believe? And this is a hugely complex issue that there are so many different facets to it that it's very difficult to convey that. Do you accept that, Dr. Boxall?
Yes. I mean, I think what's interesting on this particular story, I mean, I've been covering this story from the outset, and I've been involved in a number of discussions with other scientists. And actually, when you sit down and you look at the stories, we do agree. Now, what does happen is that there are people out there on the edge of science who will come up with all kinds of weird and wonderful stories. We've seen stories ranging from, you know, the Gulf Stream will shut down as a result of this, and there's even a day after tomorrow type scenario predicted. I mean, these are the sort of the crackpots. And the problem is, I think sometimes the media does its best to give a balance, but by giving that balance, it's looking for the two extremes. And the reality quite often sits probably more to the benign rather than to the dramatic.
I think in defence of the media, I should just say it's a little bit of a broad brush approach. I wouldn't say all arms of the media are looking for those extremities. Certainly try to have a balanced, sensible conversation.
It wasn't a general attack, sorry.
It was a general statement
that it's quite often parts of the press and parts of the media will be looking for the outrageous story rather than necessarily the less outrageous.
Mike, do you think that's fair?
Yes. And another part of this that adds to this is there's been a lot of controversy over here about oil drilling and President Obama's energy plan, which calls for more drilling. And just as he released his plan, and it did call for more drilling off of Florida, which is very controversial. And so this bill was turned out to be used by a lot of the anti-drilling advocates as, you know, portraying that this was what would be in store if there was more drilling. And so their interest lied in exaggerating the impact of this bill. So that was sort of a side story that goes on top of this.
I think that's a very good point, and I think it's the political side as well. The problem is, of course, if the science proves to be wrong at the end with this political side, then the political clout is watered down. I mean, you know, our concerns as scientists are what happens when we start exploring oil in the Arctic, and that will be a huge disaster if that happens.
And that is another thing where you saw there was constant references to the Valdez, and it was two totally different environments and two totally different kinds of oil, whereas the Valdez was a very thick crude in a cold water environment. The Gulf spill was much lighter oil in an environment that was used to, you know, absorbing oil and breaking it down. So it was an entirely different impact.
I think Mike brought up a very good point there, and he's exactly right about the two different environments, which rather points to BP's contingency plans, which, if you remember, were released shortly after this bill, which talked about dealing with walrus and all sorts of animals that are actually not in hilly cut and paste plans that were made for Alaska. But joking aside, I do think one of the important points is that nothing is value free. Not even the science that's conducted is value free. So in other words, you have BP scientists, you have US government scientists, and indeed you have environmental scientists that will be doing lots of work. And that science is not the final arbiter of truth, and I speak as a scientist myself. We have opinions and we have particular points of view that need to be put over. And what comes out in the run, in the end, is a whole range of opinions, scientific opinions, that are equally valid in many ways. But I think you have to look at where the work is coming from again. So if you have BP that very clearly have an imperative to try to put as good a gloss on a bad situation as possible, then there is a drive there. And of course, BP have plenty of resources to be able to do a lot of work and to commission scientific research, etc., etc. If you look at the fisherman who, you know, is trying to sort of get some kind of idea of the impact on his livelihood, the resources that he has available to try.
They're obviously a lot fewer and a lot more difficult. Simon and Paul, I just want to bring in, there's more people who want to talk to you, and we're getting lots of messages which are coming in. If you're just switching on your radio, this is World Have Your Say from the BBC World Service. We're discussing whether the BP oil leak was overhyped. Ryan has emailed us at worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. It's most likely that the hype about the BP oil leak being overhyped is BP's creation. The very fact that BP did all it could to downplay the seriousness of the leak shows that there was a crisis. And Sarah has posted on Facebook, almost 5 million barrels of oil poisoned our Gulf Coast, and you have the brass to undermine our reaction on the behalf of BP. If you want to get in touch, you're more than welcome. Text country code 447786 206080. Let's bring in Anne, who's in Vancouver, and also Robert. Anne, first of all, what do you think? Has this been overhyped?
No, I don't think any environmental or man-made disaster can be overhyped. I think the media can overhype political situations, 911 calls or whatever, and I turn it off when it does that. But I think it's so important, as your callers are saying, to bring in all the different opinions and especially all the science, because I know they're going to be very scientific reports, but as a listener, how am I supposed to react if I'm not informed? And I feel really upset in the case of the BP oil spill, because I think that I feel like I've been really duped by the media, because they've known, or these scientists have known from the beginning, that at a certain point all this oil would be dispersed or way out into the huge oceans that we use as our sewer, and unfortunately, and so they've known that from the get-go.
So, Anne, are you saying
we thought it could be cleaned up?
Anne, just to clarify. So, are you saying you feel duped by the media not giving you all the facts, or duped by the scientists not telling you the facts?
Well, I think it's the media's responsibility, and they have a unique opportunity to go and talk to these experts and bring those truths out to us, and not, you know, get too, narrow focus, but to actually go and do that research for us, so I don't have to go, I don't have that time to go and find it out myself. But that's what I think, that they have that opportunity to do that.
Actually, having said, one criticised the media earlier, the media I've dealt with, and that includes the BBC, the New York Times and places like that, they have given a fairly good balanced view, and certainly, the opinion that this will disperse into the open ocean, and as it is at the moment, and the sort of the figures we're seeing coming out now were discussed 3 months ago almost, when the whole thing kicked off. So I think, it has been out there. It's very much a question of what gets picked up by other parts of the media, and also by the people reading the media as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right, and I think, what happens generally with oil spills is that in the end, there will be some kind of common understanding of both the amount of oil that was spilled, the impacts on wildlife and the impacts on communities. But that often takes weeks, months, if not years, to actually, get a common acceptance of where this particular spill will live on in the league table of world's oil spills. And it does take a long time for that to actually come to some kind of accepted conclusion or within the range of what the impacts might be. But at this time, that's not really happening.
Let's bring in Robert in Tennessee, because you're waiting very patiently, Robert. What would you like to say on this?
Well, as to the question of whether this has been overhyped, I would say no way. Pardon the cynicism, but there is, I think, a collusion between the Obama administration and BP to downplay the widespread effects of this catastrophe. When you look at 5 million barrels, 200 million gallons of crude oil poured out into these active waters starting just 110 days ago, So for me, at least, the notion that it is somehow 75% dispersed or removed is preposterous. And I say so not as a scientist, but as someone who has some sense of our history. Americans have a history of forgetting and moving on. And I think that both BP and the Obama administration are betting on our capacity to self-deceive and return to the beaches and to the consumption of both seafood and oil, as the case may be.
Well, so Robert, let's explore that issue that you feel you're being duped by BP, you feel you're being duped by President Obama. Dr. Boxall, do you want to pick up on that?
Yeah, I think one statement you have there is that people will forget and move on. And I think that's probably will happen. And I think actually, and Paul, I hope you agree with this, that's the tragedy of this. You know, what we want to see from this is better safety measures and also start really questioning our dependence on oil. And, you know, my hope as a scientist would be that this might well ignite a better passion for alternative energy sources. But I don't think it will. I think you're right. I think we will move on. I think because it won't be the catastrophe that everyone feared, people will shrug their shoulders and move on. And we'll be discussing this again in 2 or 3 years' time when we get the next deep sea blowout.
Well, this is Robert Hodge in Tennessee. If I may continue.
Yeah, sure.
The evaporation formula, to me, I'm questioning where the 75% comes from. I'm wondering if that's extrapolated, if the formulas are extrapolated from evaporation rates of seawater. Maybe you guys could tell us more of how they come up with those rates. In this additional question, even if you're talking about a reduction in volume, are you really talking about a reduction in potency or toxicity of those elements?
Because of the nature of the oil, we are. And we are looking at the reduction in volume. Let me just put it into perspective for you. And this is perhaps a bad way of putting it, but it does give you an idea of how big the ocean is and how small the oil spill is. If we were to take the Gulf of Mexico and reduce it down to the size of an Olympic-sized swimming pool, the amount of oil spilt is the equivalent of 1 gram. That's an eyedropper full. Now, if that eyedropper lands on top of you, that's bad news. But it does give you an idea of how quickly the ocean can absorb and deal with this oil spill. However, I know Paul's going to come back and say, but it's having a bad impact. That doesn't mean to say this is a good thing. This is a bad oil spill. Let me reiterate that.
Yeah, and to be fair as well, I don't think that fully reflects the oceans. And you know as well, Simon, that the oceans are not a uniform, random body. There are currents which will collect parts of the oil. There are areas where it will accumulate. There are areas where it will disperse. So just relating an amount of oil to the size of the oceans, I don't think fairly reflects the real impact that happens on the environment, because
I agree. I emphasize the fact that obviously the oil lands on you, it's different, but over time the oceans do mix, and over time, and we're talking here a few years, that amount of oil does disperse itself through the oceans. In the immediate now, obviously that oil does impact on the beaches and does have an effect.
And in Vancouver, Robert in Tennessee, thank you for getting in touch with the program. We're literally coming up to the news, but briefly, if one of you could, and I mean very briefly, just answer this question. Kevin has texted in. Will this have helped allow fish populations to recover and help ecosystems to rebalance because it's forced fishing to stop for a while? Literally a two-word answer, yes or no, Dr. Boxall.
Yes.
Yes. Paul Horsman, do you agree with that or not?
I'm inclined to say no on that, but I couldn't be definitely sure.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining both of us. Dr. Simon Boxall, lecturer in oceanography at the University of Southampton, and also Paul Horsman, a marine biologist and oil spill expert who's also worked with Greenpeace. After the news, we're going to be discussing whether Saudi Arabia is right to restrict the use of blackberries. If you're in that part of the world, we'd really like to hear from you. We'll carry on this conversation in the next couple of minutes.
There's more information about our forthcoming programme highlights on our website. To really whet your appetite, just pop along to bbcworldservice.com and click Coming Soon.